Hello there, friends. It's your Broadway buddy, Ben Cameron, and you are listening to Playbill Presents The Broadway Cast. The Broadway Cast is a weekly talk show that brings the pages of Playbill to life and delivers it directly to theater fans around the world. Every episode will feature breaking Broadway news and exclusive stories from notable Broadway personalities. Additionally, The Broadway Cast gives a voice to fans like they've never had before. We are kicking off our second season in a very magical way. It's all Disney on Broadway today, my friends, as we welcome from Aladdin, Telly Leung, Kara Lindsay from Newsies, and Mary Poppins herself, Miss Ashley Brown. But before we get into the Disney magic, let's check in with someone who knows more about Broadway than just about anybody. She's senior features editor at Playbill with our Playbill Pulse, Ruthie Fierberg.
Hi, Ben.
Hi, Ruthie. It's good to see you.
It's so good to see you.
We like it when we're able to actually be here together.
In the same room.
And touch and discuss. And
definitely.
Yeah. Tell us what's going on. What's the pulse telling us?
I mean, there has been so much news just in the past week, let alone during our hiatus.
Uh-huh.
The biggest news, of course, is Hello Dolly.
Oh.
Bernadette Peters.
I'm in. I'm all for it.
Back
100%.
Where she belongs, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
Bernadette Peters is going to take over the role for Bette Midler beginning January 20th of 2018. And alongside her, Mr. Victor Garber taking over for David Hyde Pierce. It's another embarrassment of riches. They're actually going to go dark for a week after Bette finishes on January 14th. And then they will begin new performances January 20th.
Will Gavin, Donna Murphy be staying on at that point?
No, Bernadette's going to do all 8 shows.
She's a war horse.
So if you're going to see Donna, your last chance is January 9th.
Hmm.
But Gavin Creel and Kate Baldwin, Tony winner and Tony nominee respectively for the show, are extending. Very exciting. And Taylor Trench is leaving to go into Dear Evan Hansen. So Charlie Stemp from the UK is going to come in.
That's right.
Yeah. And speaking of Dear Evan Hansen, they have just announced tour dates.
Oh my gosh. I just heard the collective screams of tween girls all over the country right now.
I mean, not just tween girls, right? This musical is resonating with tons of people. So they're
Absolutely.
Going to kick off Denver, October 2018, which is where Frozen is
mm-hmm.
right now, coming to Broadway this spring. So that's exciting. Dear Evan Hansen news. Speaking of the spring, Carousel is coming spring 2018. And we already knew that Jesse Mueller and Joshua Henry were headlining, but now we have a theater.
Mm.
And an opening date. So it is going into the Imperial and it's going to officially open April 12th, but performances are beginning as early as February 28th.
Holy moly.
Miss Betsy Wolf has joined the cast as well as
our good friend.
Yes, she's fantastic. She's
she
in Waitress
really
right now and so exciting to see her star continue to rise.
Mm-hmm.
Alexander Gemignani, who is on the tour of Hamilton right now, is coming in. And Margaret Collin coming back to Broadway. She hasn't been on Broadway since, I think, 1997. So that's really exciting.
Yeah.
Of course, there's always Hamilton news. So here's the Ham update.
The Pulse wouldn't beat it all without Hamilton news.
I know. Oh, so London Hamilton, no longer beginning November 21st, now starting previews December 6th with an official opening December 21st due to the renovations that are happening at that theater. So
okay.
If you were looking to go around holiday time, be very careful about when you have purchased your tickets.
Nobody wants to show up in London prepared to see Hamilton.
I know.
I guess you have to go see Harry Potter then.
Ugh.
If that's
bummer.
The case. I know. Wouldn't that be a crying shame?
I know. Terrible. Terrible news.
That's all really big and exciting stuff.
It is all
Ruthie.
Really big and exciting stuff. I'm going to leave you with this thought. Tickets go on sale for Mean Girls on Broadway.
Oof.
When? October 3rd. Of course. Mean Girls Day. So
Girls
tickets
Day.
Go on sale October 3rd for the Broadway production of Mean Girls. It's opening in D.C., in October as well. And then the Broadway production is coming to the August Wilson Theater this March with an opening of April 8th.
That is so Regina George to already have a Broadway theater lined up before she opens out of town.
Mm-hmm.
Those
She's
plastics.
Savage.
She really is. That's our Playbill Pulse. It's always great to see you, Ruthie. Can't wait to talk to you next time.
Absolutely. Glad to be here. Thanks.
And now, my friends, let's get on with our season 2 premiere show.
Give my regards to Broadway.
The lullaby of Broadway.
But
There's a kid in the middle of nowhere who's sitting there living for Tony performances, singing and flipping along with the Pippins and Wickets and Kinkies, Matildas and Mormonses. So we might reassure that kid and do something to spur that kid. Because I promise you, all of us up here tonight, we were that kid and now we're big.
Feel free to applaud wildly into your device. Our panel is applauding. We're so thrilled to be back. We had an amazing first season. We are back today with nothing but joy. Because today it's all about Disney.
Yeah.
Yay. Disney on Broadway. Two happier words, I think, have never been spoke. I'd like to quickly say hello to our panel. Sitting immediately to my left, recently having played Glinda.
Yes.
In Wicked on Broadway. People know her as Catherine Plummer in the original Broadway cast of Newsies. Kara Lindsay is here.
Hello.
Hi, Kara.
Thanks for having us.
I'm so happy that you're here.
I'm so happy to be here.
Newsies has become such a phenomenon on so many levels, and now as a film, it keeps coming back even into the theaters.
What's the response? And now on Netflix.
Netflix.
That's so crazy.
That's bigger than movie houses.
Yeah. I mean, to me, because you can just have it while you're having your dinner, like in your apartment.
Yeah, with your lean cuisine.
Lean cuisine.
Yeah, or at least that's what I'm trying to do.
Or your Pizza Hut. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's so crazy. I mean, Newsies wasn't even supposed to come to Broadway, and now, you know.
Is that true?
Yes, it was supposed to. It was just intended to for licensing, because there were a lot of illegal productions of Newsies, including my high school.
We're getting to it.
Yeah, my middle school. So it's so cool. I mean, it's a series of unexpected surprises. That's Newsies, and it's so cool that everybody gets to see it now on their couch. It's awesome.
Which is where everybody wants to
be.
Hello. Let's be honest.
Right on our couch.
Seated next to Kara Lindsay, he currently stars as Aladdin in Aladdin on Broadway. He's also appeared in Wicked, In Transit, Flower Drum Song, Godspell, Rent, to name just a few. Telly Leong is here.
Hi. Hey, gang.
Yay!
How are you?
Telly.
Hey, man.
How's it been? You're in the Aladdin.
Oh, gosh. It's a blast. I've been in the show for about 3 months now, and it's the most fun I've ever had on a stage.
Is it really?
It's a 2.5 hour like theme park ride. That's what it feels like to me. It feels like such a fun ride to be on all night. And it's one of those things where I never quite leave the stage. So I blink and I feel like, oh, it's over. Like, we're done. Oh my gosh, that was a blast, you know?
Yeah.
It's really, really fun.
How long did you know you were going in before you could tell people?
Oh gosh, I knew for quite some time, but I was still doing In Transit at the time. And it was kind of one of those stories that I tell my students too, because sometimes I teach as well. And I say, you know, you never kind of know when you're actually auditioning for a job. So they had called me in to audition for the national tour. And they said, Telly, we know you're doing In Transit, so we know you're not available to do the national tour of Aladdin, but it's so hard to get Casey Nicola and Tom Schumacher in the same room together. You know, these two theater titans, right, that have busy schedules. They said, well, come in and we'll see you. And I don't know, maybe you'll be Aladdin like a year or 2 years from now. Like, you know, they just want to have you on a list of people they're interested in seeing you. I said, great, awesome. So I walked in, and they were like, hey, Telly, congrats on In Transit. We know you start rehearsals in a couple weeks. And I was like, yeah, awesome. And they were like, well, let's see what you got. And then miraculously, somehow, they were like, well, we actually were interested in also having you replace Adam Jacobs, who's actually going to be leading the national tour on Broadway. And I was like, what? Which was a total surprise. And they said, we know you have In Transit, so, you know, it's cool. Just
so
come,
they
come
knew
when
you walked in the room before you knew.
I didn't know. I didn't know that I was actually auditioning for the show on Broadway at the time. I had no idea. I thought I was auditioning for a job. I don't know, somewhere maybe a year down the line or something, or 2 years, and maybe another callback, I just had no idea. So you never know. I guess that's the lesson to be had is, you know, kind of put your best foot forward at all times, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Cool, I didn't know that.
And rounding out our panel today, she is the luminous, original Mary Poppins. This is Ashley Brown is here. Holy moly, I'm so thrilled to meet you. I'm a fan of yours for a long time, and I don't think we've had a chance to actually
sit
down and say hello.
Yeah.
How has that impacted your life, being Mary Poppins?
It's beyond. You know, it's kind of, you know, Julie Andrews was always my Mary Poppins, and I've had so many kids who had never seen the movie who saw the show, and it's like I'm their Mary Poppins, so I still, I mean, they're a little shocked by my accent, that I'm not really her, but but it's been an amazing ride, and I still, you know, hold her so close to my heart, and it's been an amazing ride. It changed my life.
And do you have a kid?
I do. I have a baby, a 16-month-old little girl named Emmeline.
And she's going to grow up knowing that mommy was Mary Poppins.
I know. It's funny because there's like little pictures, you know, I have little things framed and she's like, mama, mama. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's already happening.
All right. Before we dive deeper into getting to know a little bit more about your experiences with Disney on Broadway and your careers in general,
we like to have a little fun here at the Broadway cast. And we like to play a little game called You Can't Stop the Beat.
Oh, no.
And it's very easy to play. We start like this. We're going to start a little bit of a rhythm. Very simple.
Oh, I feel like I'm back in acting school.
I know.
Yeah. I feel, oh,
I know.
Gosh.
We almost did it.
Oh, Lord. I don't have a filter.
This is Disney.
Now,
if
you want to go for a double clap, you're feeling daring. Oh. I won't be angry.
Feeling jazzy. Like
oh, Kara went for it. Kara went for the double clap.
It makes me think of Shania
so, we're going to go round robin around the panel.
Oh, God.
And I'm going to ask you all to name as many Disney princesses as you can.
Wait, just one at a time. Like,
one
I don't just keep going.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, unless you're feeling very inspired.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, God.
I think you should start, Kara.
Gosh, help me.
When do I say it? On the
Five,
clap?
5, 6, here we go.
Jasmine.
Good.
Mulan.
Excellent.
Snow White.
Oh.
Right? Yep. Isn't she a princess?
Oh, you bet.
Oh, you don't play?
You don't play?
I don't play.
Oh, you don't play.
No. So you're stopping the beat.
And I'll tell you why I don't play.
We stop the beat.
I'll tell you why I don't play. Producer Danny over here has forbidden me to play because he's afraid I will crush you.
You should play. It's Disney.
I'm going to play. Okay.
Have you run out of princesses? No, there's more.
Bring out that AMDA training. Here we go.
Oh, gosh.
Can we start over?
Do you want to start over?
Yeah, can we start over?
Yeah, here we go. Princesses.
Oh, gosh.
5, 6.
We can repeat.
Here we go. Yeah, you can repeat.
Are you going first?
All edited. But if I start, I'm going to steal your things.
Okay.
Okay.
Mulan.
Oh.
Belle.
Jasmine.
Snow White.
Rapunzel.
Tiana.
Cinderella.
Well done. Good first round. Good first round.
Say Cinderella.
Oh, gosh, I'm sweating. I'm sweating.
Take a water break.
This is more nerve-wracking than performing for 1,700 people.
I know.
I agree.
Right?
My hands
are
sweating.
Usually we're told what to say.
And we're just getting started.
No!
Yes.
Oh, yes. All right, next one.
Gosh, there's so many princesses.
Disney princes.
Oh, okay. No.
No.
Oh, gosh.
6, 7, 8. I'll start.
Oh, gosh. Oh, no.
Great. I'm always last. Y'all steal them.
Aladdin.
Prince Eric. Is that somebody?
Prince Charming.
Hans.
Oh. Olaf.
Is he a prince? Wait a minute. Hold on.
He's a snowman.
He's a snowman.
I just said
but he really proves himself, doesn't he?
He does.
He really comes through.
He's princely at heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We have one more round.
Oh, gosh.
And I think you'll like this one. Best.
Oh, good. Princess
Ready?
Is over.
It's over.
Yep. Oh, my gosh. I am so nervous. This is early
in the
morning.
I wish you could all see the look in their eyes. They're all like,
coffee.
Oh.
Everybody
embarrassed. Just give one of these.
Red leather.
Time for Disney villains.
Ooh.
Oh, it got very quiet.
Hold on. I need to think.
Okay. Take a moment. An actor prepares. 5, 6, 7, and...
Ooh.
Maleficent.
Miss Andrew.
Ooh. Jafar.
Ursula.
Ursula.
What?
Because she's so bad.
She
it's
is
worth
so
repeating.
Bad. She's
yes.
the best. I think she might be my favorite.
She's the baddest of them all. Have you heard the rumor with the live action Little Mermaid? They were talking to Harvey Firestein.
Stop.
Did you see that?
Wait, really?
There was a whole tweet thing about it. Which
that's what I. Yes, absolutely.
Can we all,
that would be amazing.
Yay, Harvey.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Times 100.
I can't wait to see his cleavage again.
The world has been saying
that.
The world has been saying it.
They've been demanding it.
Let's start at the very beginning, my friends. You're all very accomplished actors, not only in Disney musicals, but Broadway and beyond. What were your first inspirations? What were the first shows you saw that you said, that, I want to do that, I can do that?
Ooh, I don't know if it was I can do that, it was I want to do that.
I think ever in our careers did we ever really go, I can do that.
Yeah.
We're all kids
and cats.
Yeah.
I remember seeing Ragtime when it came through Rochester, because I'm from Rochester, and we had this, you know, all the tours go through there. I'm so sorry for that auditorium, too. They're changing it.
They are. There's a new theater coming.
Yeah. So that's very exciting. But I remember seeing Ragtime and watching that, and just, I had to sit there for a moment, because I had to absorb what I just saw. I mean, it's so moving. And I just saw it recently at Algonquin because I had some friends in it. And it's still like the same impact on me. It's such a good show. And yeah, I just remember wanting to be able to tell a story like that and inspire somebody the way I was inspired by them. That was a first moment that I really remember.
That show is beautiful and
so
timeless.
Good. Yes, timeless.
Yeah, it really is. One of the best scores, I think. For sure.
Yeah, Telly. For me it was, you know, this wasn't the first Broadway show I saw, but it was, I think it was like the third Broadway show I saw. It was Rent, actually, the original company of Rent. Mm-hmm. And I remember like the first show I saw was Cats, which I was like, everybody's a cat, so I couldn't really tell what they looked like underneath. And then the second show I saw was Crazy for You, and I was like, it was an amazing show, and I loved it. It was kind of one of those amazing old-fashioned musicals, but I didn't see anybody that looked like me on stage. Mm-hmm. I didn't, you know, and then all of a sudden I saw Rent, and I was like, as a New Yorker, I was like, all those people on stage, I've seen all of those people walking down the street. They look like me, you know, black, white, Asian, Latino, brown, gay, straight, everything. Everything was represented on that stage. And I was like, I can see myself doing that. And they're telling this New York story. And I was like, I could do this. Yeah. And that was back in 96. Well, fast forward 10 years, it's 2006. And I'm actually like, on the stage doing that show.
Which how surreal is that?
That is actually a surreal moment.
Because I'm a huge Rent fan as well.
Yes. Huge. I think it was kind of the show of my generation. And I remembered like back in the day, this is not good, don't do this. But back in the day, we had cassette bootlegs of shows. Like before the cast album came out, you were on like America Online and you would go on chat boards and you'd be like, who has, you'd go in the chat rooms and go, who has a bootleg of Rent? Who brought their tape recorder in?
Talking to Rent for life.
Right. Yeah. And so I had a bootleg of Rent, and I remembered like being in my put-in rehearsal for Rent on Broadway in 2006, and I was like, I'm in my own bootleg. Like I'm in my bootleg. Like that was the first thought that I thought to my brain.
Yes.
Isn't that crazy?
I think that may be the goal for all of us. If we could all end up in our own bootleg. I think maybe we've done it right. I actually, in 1996, I was obsessed. I had to sneak out of my house to watch Rent perform on the Tony Awards. And I remember thinking, grew up in Mormon, Utah. So had to sneak out for that one. And I remember being like, this is unlike anything I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Wow.
For sure.
That's so cool.
I loved movie musicals like Carousel, Oklahoma, Mary Poppins, all those I watched like the VHS, thank you, over and over, and Be Kind, Rewind.
For our, for our millennial friends, once again, a VHS is a very big cassette-like object that you would have to rent
tape
from. They don't.
And
they
can't leave it in the sun. But I started with that, and I would always have like, know every word, every lyric, have dances that I made my family sit through, which I'm sure were great. So we're awesome. But my very first show, I'm originally from Gulf Breeze, Florida, a small town near Pensacola. And at that time, we didn't get any tours. And so my parents took me to Atlanta, Georgia. And randomly enough, kind of like your Rent situation, I saw Beauty and the Beast. And I had sung a lot at that point. I was probably in middle school and I'd sung in my church and in a children's chorus. But it was that moment where I was like, oh my gosh, I have to be her. And I was like, I have to do this. I was like, it all kind of came together because nobody in my family's in theater like at all.
Really?
So I'm like, oh, I can like do this, like not just sing at church. And I just remember being like, oh my gosh, but she's so short. And I was already 5'7" in like seventh grade. And I was like, oh gosh, I'll never be the like little princess. Well, cut to like, you know, 15 years later, 10 years later, I was the 15th Belle. That's how I made my Broadway debut. And I was number 15. One of a kind. And it was just one
Lucky
of those really surreal.
15.
Yes, honey. It was one of those really surreal moments. And I remember telling the director who put me in, being like, well, he was like, have you ever seen the show? I was like, well, I saw it when I was 13. He goes, well, don't tell the cast because half of them were in the show then.
At that time.
And so I ended up like sharing the stage with some of the people who I saw.
Wow.
And I told them that after we became friends. So they weren't like, ooh, youngin, get out of here. Right. You know? But it was a very like, full circle moments.
But
really
don't you
awesome.
Love those moments when you get into the business and you can look around and say, I'm working with these people I knew before they had any idea who I was.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
So going into the Disney side of it, what were your first Disney memories?
Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with Belle. Like, still. It's a little weird in my 30s.
Yeah.
But I'm obsessed with her. I remember seeing that on Broadway and just being like, that's what I want to do. I want to be Belle and Beauty and the Beast. And then when I moved here, that's when it closed.
Oh, no.
And I was like, no.
Like, this is why I showed up.
Yeah, no, I just turn around, go back to Rochester. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, but then, you know, then I got to do Newsies, which is a different kind of princess and kind of nerdy in her own right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I remember seeing Belle and also watching the movie when I was little, because she's different than everybody else. And I was kind of different than everybody else. And, you know, it was celebrated in her. She, like, you know, her father was like, you're unique and that's what makes you special. And I don't know, hearing those words was really important to me as a little girl. And, you know, even though I didn't fit in with the popular crowd, like, I had something special, maybe, like Belle. So yeah, that was important.
And that's
to me.
A powerful message, I think, that kind of you find throughout Disney projects a lot.
Yeah.
What was your first Disney?
I remember very clearly. It was actually Mary Poppins. It was, you know, Mary Poppins was something that was shown on television, you know, once a year during the holidays.
It was an event.
You know, Mary Poppins, Sound of Music, they were always on, you know, always on. I felt like Julie Andrews was kind of my entree into music as well, just as a little kid, like not even knowing what music theater is or anything.
Yeah.
And I remembered the magic of Mary Poppins and seeing seeing Julie Andrews and Dick Van Dyke dance with cartoons.
Yes.
That was magic. The penguins and I mean, that was like the chalk drawings that then came to life. I just, it blew me away as a little kid. Like I could watch it over and over and over again. And I knew every word to Mary Poppins, you know, as a little kid. I just did, not even knowing what it meant, but I just knew every word because I watched it so many times.
I don't know what it is, but I know Super that
I like it. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's, so it was really the movie of Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
Can you say it backwards, Telly?
Not anymore.
I forget the lines.
You could see the look on Ashley Brown's face right now, she's like, "Well, you know, like, who knows it backwards? Me.
Yes, I do. I'll never forget." But that and then the dance of Supercow will always be in my body. Mm-hmm. Like, I will always remember it. I think I'll be 80 being like, look at me.
Yeah.
You know? But I got it. Su Kodilai Bexit Siliga Philly Creepus.
One more time for Kara.
Yeah.
Su Kodilai Bexit Siliga Philly Creepus.
Woo!
Do you remember the orthography to it all?
Oh, honey. S-U-P-E-R. Yeah, look at you!
I had to do it in a week.
You did?
I watched you over and over again.
Because you've done the Poppins.
North Carolina.
You did?
Last summer, and it was like summer stock. I mean, you learn it in a week and a half. Eric Woodall directed it.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, which was so fun.
So I bet you were great.
That dance, I did that every single night. It's so hard.
It is so hard.
It's so hard. It's so intricate.
For all our listeners, by the way, Eric Woodall is this casting director who is our angel who put me in Aladdin.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Right? And also cast Mary Poppins, too, right? On Broadway, too. Yeah.
That's so crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's the best. It was so awesome doing that with him.
That's so cool.
That dance is no joke.
Yeah, it's full out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you in a show? I know you are. Do you want to add some Broadway flair to your school or community theater production? Well, Playbuilder lets you build your very own Broadway quality playbill program. Each playbill is fully customizable for your production. Dates, song title, cast names, production credits, artwork, and even advertising. It's a great way to promote your show, raise money for your organization, and create a professional, printable program. Save valuable time with Playbuilder Express. Select from thousands of pre-populated programs in our database and simply begin to customize your production's playbill. Visit playbuilder.com to learn how you can create your own playbill today.
Take me through, once you get to New York City and you've been inspired by these early performances you've seen or Disney movies or Julie Andrews, what was your journey once you got to New York City to the Broadway stage? Ashley?
Well, I went to the Conservatory of Music in Cincinnati, and I bought my one-way ticket with a lot of prayers. And it was kind of crazy. Like, I was not expecting things to happen so quickly. And my senior showcase, Tara Rubin, who also works with Eric Woodall, obviously, called me on my cell phone after my very first showcase and was like, so we're putting this new show together called On the Record. Final callback week. It was my first show. It was my first Disney show. We're in final callbacks, and I think you'd be great for it. And I was like, what? Like, I still had to do my second showcase, and I was like, this is nuts. Of course, I didn't say anything because my class would have been like, I hate you. And so I was like, okay, so here I am sleeping on a friend's couch in the East Village. I'm like out of a suitcase, and I show up and I sing. I was so nervous, and I sang Journey to the Past randomly from Anastasia, because that's what I sang in my showcase. So I was like, that's the first thing in my book, you know, my 16 bars. Because that's when they still want to only hear 16 bars from me.
Yeah.
And so I went in and I kept going in and in and in, because of course I first went in with like a pencil skirt and a smoky eye, and Tara Rubin was like,
like you're supposed to.
Honey, this ain't business casual anymore. I was like, okay, I'll come in as a human. Because I was giving you like hoes, like everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Honey, give me
showcase. Jewel tone toms.
I remember. Yep. Absolutely.
Extensions.
Always,
you know,
the jewel tone.
And so anyways, long story long, that's kind of how it started for me, is I did the workshop and with Rebecca Luker, and I was like, oh my gosh, I was literally listening to your CD like last week in college, and like here I am. So it was like 2 weeks out of school.
Wow.
And it was just been the most amazing ride since. And it just kind of, but I've always kind of been really aware that that doesn't always happen, and just like really, really grateful and just along for the ride, and just like how it all kind of happened and panned out. I'm just so thankful. It just was, it just the thought, like if my showcase was a week later, they would have already cast it. They were in final callbacks.
Wow.
And, you know, it's just those kind of moments where it's like...
And meant to be.
Yeah.
Meant to be.
You know, I was... that's how I met you, actually, was I met you in, when you were on tour with On the Record in Boston.
Gosh,
I was visiting my best friend who was in the show, who was in the show with you, and I was like, who is that girl? She's amazing. she's that change in me. When you sang Change in Me, it was this mind-blowing. I was like, oh my gosh, she stops the show in the 11 o'clock number, you know, and I remember, I was like, I gotta meet her. And so that's how we met, actually, was on the road, On the Record, Boston.
My gosh, I love that you remember that.
Yeah, it was you were amazing. Yeah, I'm an Ashley Brown fan. I've seen her in I've seen her in all her Disney shows.
I'm kind of geeking out that we're sitting.
I know, right? I feel the same way.
Sorry, yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Yes. Oh, it's so sweet.
Yeah. Y'all. Telly, what about you? Getting off the plane.
Well, you know, so I'm born and raised in New York, so this is my hometown.
Okay.
My parents still live in Brooklyn, so
what?
You know,
cool.
I went away.
Like, well, I'll just go do it.
Right. I went away to.
If I have,
I'm gonna take the L train.
Right. But I went away to college to Pittsburgh, Brooklyn. To Carnegie Mellon University, and it was actually, you know, I kind of had a very fortunate experience too. My first Broadway show happened the fall right after I graduated as well. I kind of went to Showcase also knowing that I had a Broadway show coming that fall, which was the revival of Flower Drum Song on Broadway, starring the Disney princess of all Disney princesses, Lea Salonga, not just one Disney voice, but two.
Yeah.
And, you know, just a funny story about Lea, like, you know, Flower Drum Song opened and closed in 4 months. We didn't do very well on Broadway for many reasons, not because the show wasn't good, but, you know, there were a lot of blizzards that year. I mean, I have a very vivid memory that year of there was one of those blizzards, and Hairspray was across the street at the Neil Simon. We were at the Virginia, and we didn't cancel our show, but they did. So here we are at half hour in a blizzard, knowing that there's probably more people backstage than out in the audience. And we're putting on our costumes, and we see the Hairspray kids. Their show is canceled, and they're doing snow angels in the snowbanks outside as we peek out the window. And I was like, well, here we go. And it was on those days. And also, there was a big musician strike, you know, that year as well. So, you know, on those days where we didn't have much of an audience, actually, to cheer ourselves up, we'd go, Lea, we're just going to close our eyes. Can you do it? Can you do it for us? And she'd sing A Whole New World for us. She would, actually.
You know how that makes
just
me
to,
feel
like,
right
cheer
now?
Us up. Just
warm
to cheer us up. And you would
warm
close your eyes. You'd be like, oh my gosh, like, like, you feel like you're transported to another place. So we totally pimped Lea out for her Disney voice skills. We were like,
she
was like, yes.
She's like,
yeah, guys. All right, here we go. Everybody close your eyes.
I know what the people need.
Backstage.
We're
ready to do the show for the 25 people that made it through the blizzard to like come see our show.
Those people are like, I got tickets.
And you've now with Allegiance as well with her.
Oh yeah, now she's become like my big sister, really. My Broadway big sister, I call her. You know, we still call each other, you know, sis and bro, and even though we're not blood related, but it feels like we are, you know, because I feel like once you've been through theater, once you've been through kind of putting up an original musical together, you're bonded.
Nothing will bond you.
Nothing will bond you.
Putting something on stage, for sure. Kara?
Well, I'm from Rochester, New York, so
that's right.
I drove with my mom. But funny story. First, I was supposed to come to Broadway with Lone Star Love. Do you guys remember that?
I do remember Lone Star Love. Wasn't that like
the Merry Wives of Windsor?
Yeah.
And I was playing Miss Anne Page, and it was like a couple months after college, and I was so excited, and we were starting in Fifth Avenue Theater and then coming to the Belasco Theater, and our marquee was up and everything. a lot of stuff went down. It's like not Disney appropriate. It didn't come to Broadway. Yeah, you should just look it up. Look up Randy Quaid, Lone Star Love. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. That was a sad story and it didn't end up coming to Broadway, but that's okay. But when I first moved to New York, I worked at Dave and Buster's in Times Square. It was a horrible, horrible decision. Don't do it. anyway, but the spot where we would take our break, the door that were like you would stand outside and it looked at the Niederlander Theater where Rent was playing, and I would look at it and be like, why am I here
outside?
You were performing on Broadway.
Yeah, right.
I was working at Dave and Buster's trying to pay for my rent. and then like several years later, that theater is where I made my Broadway debut.
Yeah.
In Newsies. So
I love those moments.
Yeah, and I'm glad. Like, I don't want it. I didn't want my story to be any other way. Like, I'm glad I got to work at Dave & Buster's. I'm glad I got to go work at another restaurant because I couldn't handle it anymore at Dave & Buster's in Times Square. Not a great decision. But it makes you appreciate these moments so much more. And, I mean, you dream about it so much. And it's just so cool. I remember vividly looking at that marquee and being like, God, I'm so sick of serving cocktails. And then...
I just want to dance.
I just want to dance.
But I like that you bring that up, though, because I think part of the experience of being an actor for most actors in New York City is how do you get through life in between the big gigs?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have you had to, Dave and Buster's, have you ever had to?
Yeah, a couple of restaurants.
I have a great job, actually. I also teach on the side, so I actually really enjoy that. And actually, for me, I find that it makes me a better artist.
Yeah,
it makes me a better artist because I kind of have to practice what I preach to my students all the time. So,
or sometimes you say something, you're like, oh,
I should be doing that.
That was true.
That is, yes, that's good. I should also try to do that.
Stuff.
As I try to encourage my students to have confidence in themselves, I'm like, oh, right, I should also do that myself.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I also enjoy doing that. But I remembered, you know, when I was on my breaks from college, I would come, you know, I temped. That was also my thing. I did like data entry and temping and all of that.
Right.
I typed
the computer. And everything
on a computer. Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, that was kind of my gig.
Yeah.
Did you ever have to do a survival gig?
I didn't. I kind of, you know, in between gigs, I kind of, you know, started my concert career, which I've been doing since I've had the baby, and kind of in between jobs. And, you know, I've just been traveling doing my solo show with different symphonies around the country. And I love it because it took me a while because I was playing these iconic like Belle and Mary Poppins. And I kind of wanted to go see how Ashley is on stage. I kind of needed to find myself on stage because I was playing these such iconic people, and I wanted to go out there without costume, without wigs, without this is how you should sound, this is how you shouldn't sound, and I just kind of wanted to just find who I was on stage. Like the cabaret scene like totally freaked me out.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of needed to go away and do that, and that's kind of what I've been doing. But early on, like I said, like it just I was expecting to go work at Banana Republic, you know, like
good choice.
You know, retail.
Better than Dave and Buster's.
A restaurant would not. I'd be like, honey, you need to go get your own enchilada. I wouldn't be a good waitress, you know.
I mean, I wasn't
hashtag
great.
Hashtag get your own enchilada.
That's terrible. I would have been so bad. So I think more like retail would have been but I didn't have to. And that's why I'm saying, I know that sounds so gross and annoying, but that's why I'm just always just so grateful.
And I like this, though. What have you found is different about playing these iconic, beautiful Disney roles and being you on stage and being Ashley Brown?
It's so different because I feel it made me get to know myself because everything happened so soon. Like, I didn't even know how to grocery shop by myself yet. And here I am, like, leading a show. You know what I mean? Where you're just like,
and it's hard
I'm
in New York.
Charge.
It's not the same in New York.
Yeah. Oh,
as
I was still buying gallons of things and, like, crying halfway home. Like, I didn't need this much Diet Coke, you know? But, and so I guess it just really, I got to know myself better as a person. And I feel like I'm able to, you know, I felt like I started auditioning better and everything just because I felt like I didn't have that, how grounded I am now. I always have been comfortable with who I am and off stage, but like when you put me on stage and they're just like improv, I'd be like, I don't know me. I don't know what to, you know, and it was just like you would guard yourself. And I feel like that the concert stuff, I can sing how I want. I can say what I want, when I want, how I want. And now I can do like, I felt like more comfortable. Like I have something to share if I do a 54. Like when they first asked me, I'm like, I don't know what story story to tell. I don't know.
Yeah.
And so I had to go away and kind of like, I didn't want to bring them through my resume. You know, I wanted to like really share something about myself that somebody didn't know, which is always hard in those kind of scenes, you know, where you're like, still have to sing and like, you know, make it all make sense. And so I feel that it has really helped me just through it all and has perspective of like 8 shows a week versus like a weekend and having some time to kind of not be exhausted, you know. It was like kind of, because I did 8 shows a week for about 6 years straight with no break. Going show to, either I was in rehearsal or doing 8 shows a week. So I got to a point where I was like, I don't want to not love this, because I love it so much, and I still do.
And
you
what,
know,
and what would you say, Ashley, is the key to that? How do you maintain that kind of longevity? 8 shows a week is a tall order.
It's so, I mean, everybody here can attest. It's it's really tough, but it's the most magical gift, you know, but it takes so much discipline and sleep and, you know, and food. And it takes a lot, like you can't go out with your friends when everybody, like I missed out on birthdays, weddings, births of my niece and nephews. And, you know, it's just, but at the same time, I'm not saying woe is me. I'm just saying those are the things that, you know,
it's kind of the contract you signed.
Like, I hate to use the word sacrifice because that sounds negative, but it is, you know, to really do the job you want to do, even when it comes to Sunday night and you like kind of want to die. Like, you, there's people still paying the same amount and you are still you and you still have to go out there. And so it's just kind of making those decisions, but at the same time to find balance. It took me a long time to find balance. It was probably like mid my Mary Poppins contract where I was like, you know what? I'm going to be tired on Sunday because I need a glass of wine with my friend. You know what I mean? It's like you kind of have to have a trade-off.
It's worth it.
You know?
Moment,
and so you can, it's not healthy to always work and it's not healthy to always play. So you kind of just have to find that, you
be
know,
a human
happy
and be an artist.
Yeah.
As well.
And it's not easy because we use our voices and you can't really go have a glass of wine in silence.
Voices and bodies, too.
Yeah.
You like you really do need to, I mean, it's crazy.
Go to the gym every morning.
You have to write. You have to be in shape. Yeah. You have to get 7 hours, 8 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
There's no way. And, you know, all of us with lives, you know, Ashley with a baby, that's hard.
Yeah.
That's
I haven't done 8 shows a week since I've had the baby, so pray for me.
Yeah.
it's tricky, you know,
you think,
when you
Telly?
Have full lives.
But,
you know, I always think of myself as being in the seat of the audience member and going, gosh, like I, you know, if I was in that seat, I would want the performers on stage to be giving me their, you know, even though it's a Sunday night and maybe we're tired, I want them to be giving me their best show, as close as their proximity to their Tuesday show as they can give me.
Yeah.
And I think about that. I go, it's, you know, it's probably, it's my 8th show of the week and probably my, I don't know, like 100th show of Aladdin or something, but it's their first time seeing it.
Yeah.
And I owe that to them. They might never come back again and see this again. And this is,
could be somebody's first time at the theater.
Or the first time at the theater, or first Broadway show, or whatever it is. So I owe that to them. You know, and so I owe that to the little fan in me that was sitting in Broadway theaters. And so that's a reminder that I give myself every night, especially when I'm tired. And we do get tired.
Yes,
we are not robots.
We're all human.
Like, we're all human. You know, we definitely, like, we don't have perfect shows. Like, no, I don't feel like that even exists. There's no such thing as a perfect show.
No.
Like, every night you kind of walk off and go, I wish, you know what I mean? Like, and I'll work on that tomorrow night. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
or just giving 100%.
You were giving 100% of what we can do at the moment. You know, and I feel like that's the best we can do.
Kara? I think the hard thing for our families, I think, to understand is, like, you don't get time off for holidays. And that was the
hardest weekends.
Thing.
What weekend?
No weekends.
Well,
no
not only
time.
That, but you get,
you
it
actually
doubles
work
up.
Overtime
now you're doing like
during
a
the holidays.
15 show week because it's Christmas.
And I have to explain, I'm like, this, we're their Christmas present. We're their Hanukkah present. We're, you know,
we work when everyone else is not.
Exactly.
So, like, nights, weekends,
and
holidays.
That's the hard thing to adjust to, I think, you know, because you want to visit your family, but you have the exact same opposite schedule of them if they're not in the business. But yeah, I think maintaining the 8 show a week, I think it's the perspective and like knowing the alternative. And I think knowing that, you know, I could be, you know, catering right now, but I get to be on Broadway right now. Having a little perspective and realizing how lucky we are to be where we are and how hard we worked and how much we've dreamed about this for so long. I remember journaling in my little journal, like when I was 8 years old, saying, I want to be Belle in Beauty and the Beast on Broadway. I mean, I get to do a sort of version of that. But, you know, and thinking about those moments and being like, I am doing that. Like, mm-hmm. I get to do that. So buck up, Kara. Yeah.
And, you know, that's the other thought, too. There are New York, there are thousands and thousands of people who would kill to be doing what
and
we do.
Perfectly yes. capable, right.
So you
too.
And
capable.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like, somehow,
people.
Like, the three of us lucked out.
It's a gamble. You know what I mean? It's,
and, like, we were in the right place at the right time, and, like, we had the skills at that moment.
Right. So,
you know, and we looked a certain way at that moment, yeah. that all of a sudden we're doing these roles. You
right.
know what I mean?
So, like, that Sunday night, ninth show, maybe right. 10th. Yeah, right. Yeah. Thinking about that is, that's the adrenaline, and that's the drive. Yeah.
All right, friends, we all know we love Broadway, and if you're anything like me, I can only imagine that you also love a great vacation. So why not combine the two and take a Broadway-themed vacation with Playbill? That's right. Playbill Travel has been hosting the biggest fans of Broadway all over the world on incredible week-long cruises that get you up close and personal with the biggest and brightest stars of Broadway. I'm not joking. One night you can hear an amazing and intimate performance by, I don't know, let's say Tony Award winner, an amazing human being, Christine Ebersole. And the next morning, you're going on an incredible excursion through Iceland with her. Check out PlaybillTravel.com to take a look at Playbill's cruise up the Rhone River in France, where guests and Broadway stars had the time of their lives. Playbill Travel has two amazing cruises lined up between now and July of next year, so head to PlaybillTravel.com to book your soon-to-be most favorite vacation ever.
I'm crazy about onstage mishaps.
Oh, gosh.
I love theater because it's live. I love theater because it's unpredictable, mm-hmm. And especially in Disney shows where magic is so much a part of it. Tell me about the moments that that went whoops.
Oh, am I
on stage.
Oh, yeah.
I think so. I think
you
are, Kara.
Well, I mean, with Newsies, the spectacle was the boys. It was the boys. So we didn't really have a lot of, like, the big... I mean, we had those towers, which were, you know... But they generally worked. They did what they were supposed to. But sometimes I didn't. With King of New York, there's that big tap number, and Catherine's supposed to, like, show that she can keep up with the boys and then some. And this was, I think, during previews, and Brendan Stimson throws me the broom, and I'm supposed to, like, catch it and throw it back and do this fierce tap move and show them that I'm better than them. Well, I'm not good at catching things. I'm not good at throwing things. So I went to catch the broom from him, and I'm supposed to go like this, and I whacked it, and it hit Mark Hummel, our music director, conductor, on the head. And
oh my
I was
gosh.
Like, I'm so sorry. broke fourth wall, like, he's in the play. I was like, I'm so sorry. And then he was conducting with the broom and then threw it up at me at the end. And I was like, I'm so sorry. The whole song, it was terrible. And then there's Wicked with the bubble. There's a lot of those, but.
Give us a bubble.
Well, the bubble sometimes would not work, which is always really fun. So there's a non-bubble show that you have planned that we learn from the bubble dance.
Now
captain.
Wait a minute, I was in Wicked for 3.5 years,
I did Wicked too. I don't know about the
I don't
non-bubble
know about
show.
The non-bubble
well,
show.
You guys, I did the tour. So going through touring houses, sometimes like
depending on what they are able to do, technically in the space,
pretty quick turnaround. So sometimes very few moments, I have to say. But sometimes that would happen. So the dance captains had to teach you what the no bubble show would be, just in case.
Oh, teach us.
You walk. But
you
also
walk.
All the Aussies, the Aussies go like this. Can I do this?
Please do.
Pretending like you're in the air.
No.
And you're just walking above them like...
Look, it's Glinda.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's not great. But so this is the end of the show. You know how she ends the show in the bubble and everything's all great. Well, the bubble's supposed to come down and then she leaves and then everybody does their bows.
Yeah.
So the curtain comes in and then the head carpenter screams to me, Kara, you're going to stay up there for bows. And I screamed. I'm scared of heights.
great.
I was like, no.
Because you're up there for a while before the show even starts.
Yes.
Hang out in the bubble. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is the end of the show. It's like we got through the whole thing. So then I'm up there for bows and I'm presenting everybody. I was like, and then I'm
and
hooked into the bubble.
In the bubble.
I'm hooked in the bubble, so I bowed like this. And then also, you're supposed to hug the alphabet. It's like part of the bow. No. So we went like this.
Give it a little peace sign.
I was stuck up there. And not only that, everybody got to go to their dinner because it was a two-show day. It was a matinee. And they had to inch me down.
Stop.
Oh, no.
And I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. And then they unclipped me. I jumped into the head carpenter's arms. Anyway.
Hilarious.
I do remember.
Such a long mishap. Sorry.
One time in Wicked where... I will not spoil the magic, but at the end of Act 1, Elphaba does fly, right. And there was one time she was not able to fly, but a lot of people run out from behind her and look up at her and scream, look at her, she's wicked, which is a very interesting thing to do when she's not...
Because you have to crouch down.
...above you. So we had 15 ensemble members laying flat on our stomachs, trying to be as low as possible, pointing at her like this.
Oh my gosh.
Look at her. She's wicked.
Get her.
Yeah, get her.
You can. You
she's
reach.
Right there. I think it was Shoshana Bean. And you better believe.
Oh, were you there?
No, I
you better
about it.
You better believe nobody's washed as many windows as Shoshana Bean in that moment.
Oh, giving it to you. Honey.
Yeah.
Oh,
Telly?
My God.
Well, I had an Aladdin mishap, which happened to me recently, and it was all my fault. I'm just gonna claim, and I'm also gonna claim that I'm still fairly new to the show. Like I've been only in the show under 3 months. So, there's the of course the amazing magic carpet ride that happens in the middle of the second act, and it is
which
truly,
is spectacular.
It's spectacular and it's magic.
I wept when I saw it.
And you know, and Jasmine and I, we're really flying in the air. We're very high up in the air, so there is a safety mechanism where we are fastened in. There is like it's like a seatbelt sort of thing. That just keeps us safe, right?
And a magical seatbelt.
It's a magical seatbelt. But for Broadway safety rules, we have to be in there. Okay. And it's choreographed while we're singing that we have to clip and unclip ourselves just to make sure we're safe. It never feels unsafe, but it's just like a union safety thing, right? So I'm looking at Jasmine, you know,
lovingly.
I'm lovingly, and I'm acting so hard with her. And it gets to the part, goes, a whole
hashtag
new
acting
world,
so hard.
A whole new world. That's where we'll be. That's where I'm supposed to unclip. I didn't. So all of a sudden, it's time to get off the carpet.
I'm so nervous.
And get off and help her off. I realize in that moment, I haven't unhooked myself.
No.
So I stop singing. The whole show comes to a screeching halt. I unhook, you hear a loud click, hook.
Magical.
For you and me. Oh,
at least it was on beat.
So at least I had the knowledge to not actually get up. But it was because I was so in the moment. I was looking at Courtney Reed's eyes, and I was falling
those
madly in love with her in the moment.
Those are some good
and
eyes.
I just forgot to unhook myself from the
hilarious.
Carpet.
Hilarious.
I would have dragged the whole thing off stage with me.
That's
dragged.
Amazing.
Yep. Yep.
Magic.
I would have destroyed the set, I think.
No. You're fine. Oh, my
Ashley
God.
Brown.
That's hilarious.
Oh, honey. I mean, we could do a whole
special. You know it's going to be a good story when.
Yeah, yes. You flew?
I flew over the audience, honey.
That's right.
But what I love about any mishaps is like, people love watching other people recover.
Yes.
Whether you're an actor, whether you're on the street watching somebody fall, I'm like, I always warn people, do not fall around me. You will have zero support for me. Like, I find
Let's be
falling...
Let's be honest. People falling is funny.
It is funny. It's the recovery. Some people walk it off or run it off. It's hilarious. Or some people, like, get up really fast, pretend like nobody saw. I'm like, it's amazing.
I meant to do that.
Yeah. And so, like, on stage, when you're doing a show 8 times a week, like, if anybody even, like, trips, like, a little skip, it's like... You know? Mm-hmm. And so I feel like I always kind of looked forward to these, but like, of course, when it's you, it's like a little different because you're like, I got. And well, there was a lot of things. Considering how many times I flew, like, I really didn't have many issues. And we had like plan Z. You know, I was over the audience. It's like stakes are high.
Yeah.
And so I knew like all the different steps if things were to go wrong. And because I did it so often, I could tell by like one little click. I'm like, oh, ain't going today. Or like, oh, you know, but there was this one time where it was during preview, so we were still working out the kinks. Mm-hmm. And I went up stage right off stage, and then I flew across stage left. And once I got to stage left, my wire switched and I flew all over the audience. And in the new AM, they still have Mary Bridge. They built a bridge where I would land, and somebody was connected to a wall, one of the crew, and would bring me in, snap the gate behind me, and I'd run down, get in the elevator, change, take my brace off, and like pretend I wasn't winded for my bow. And I was like,
acting.
How did you do that?
And there was one time I upstage right and I was going, and then all of a sudden I kind of started tipping forward, and I don't have shoulder straps like Gavin did, who played Bert.
Yeah.
And so I was a little like, if I fall forward, like this is an ish. And so I saw the crew, like, because everybody's trying to keep it magical. But what started happening is the crew drew, I'll never forget, Drew had one of my legs because I was starting to tip. And so, because he was like, I was kind of like holding my umbrella, my feet were like, and so I kind of started, and like one, I had like 8 layers of skirt. Thank you, Bob Crowley, of all wool. And each layer, like, slowly kept going over my head. And then all you saw was, like, Mary's bloomers, like, and boots. Just like, hey, girl. And literally, I was, like, this far, like, maybe, like, a foot from the first row. And, like, this little girl was like, Mary. And I was like, had my skirt. I was like, honey, it's fine. I'm fine.
It's okay.
And then they had to bring out a forklift, which always makes you feel petite.
Wait.
And
nothing makes you feel more petite than
I'm
a forklift.
I'm telling you.
Forklift? How? What?
Because they had to bring it over because they couldn't get high enough to unhook me from the wires. So it was like, all of a sudden, it was like, na da 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 da. Like this whole overture where I'm supposed to be flying key change. And it's like, and then they had to unhook me. And I was like, because you know, as the actor who's stuck, you have to make the audience feel safe because they're nervous for you.
Oh, yeah, for
so
sure.
As soon as, even though I was gagging inside and like slightly thought I was going to die, I couldn't let them know because like I have to like take care of them. Right. And so, and I was fine, but like it was kind of embarrassing. I mean, there was times because I had to go up like 30 stairs a show. This was my other favorite. And one time I just busted right then. I remember looking at the carpet going like, how are you going to handle this? Because, and then the Jane and the Michael piled up behind me and the whole audience went.
Wait, down the stairs from the house?
Yeah, up. I was going up the stairs. And so like face plant. And literally my first thought was like,
practically perfect.
Oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And literally the whole audience like, and I was like, oh, at least they care about me. At least they weren't like, yeah, Mary's down. But I literally stood up and I said practically, and I went back up the stairs.
Brilliant.
But I was like, I have to think of something.
Audiences love that.
They do.
I think I love that as an audience member.
But I mean, my wig was everywhere. I had bleeding forehead, nose, and chin, and I was wondering because I didn't know, because I had a rug burn all three places, and all the Jane and Michael, like, they had, we did to sing a reprise, and they were just kind of like, you're practically back, because you know kids don't lie. And I was like, Miss Ashley, you're bleeding. I'm like, where? And I was like, cool, sexy.
It's a very different play all of a sudden. What are the expectations when you play these kind of iconic roles? Disney is such a part of everyone's hearts. What are the expectations? How do you bring yourself into the character when it's something that people know so well and care so deeply about?
You know, I think it's I think the job for us is to bring ourselves to the role. But what I always told myself is everybody's coming in loving Mary Poppins, period. Mm-hmm. So if I can do my job and make them leave loving her just as much, but finding new things with her, then I've succeeded. You know, because you come in with people loving this. That's a lot of pressure.
I'm wondering.
It is stressful, but at the same time, I feel like with all three of our shows, you know, it's its own thing as well.
It's not the movie verbatim.
It's not the movie. The same thing with Aladdin. It's not exactly the movie. The same thing with Newsies. So I feel like, you know, because of that, there is a license and a freedom to go, you know, we are all in a theater together.
Yeah.
You know,
having a shared experience.
It's not the movie. It's not, you know, and if you wanted to see the movie, you could go home and pop the DVD or your VHS in.
Right.
And you would get that experience. But this is going to be a new experience. And I think that's kind of fun for us as artists to be like, yes, this is what you loved, but here's some new things that you never thought about these characters.
And do you find that from being fans of these characters too, as an actor, do you find
there's
so much more to this than I even knew, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think also we'll never be as good as their imagination.
You know,
we'll never be that. So it is, you know, we have to just bring ourselves to it. And also the great thing is that they can relate to it even more because these are humans. It's not a cartoon. These are human beings that are telling the story and making it real for them. And it's almost like you can really see yourself in it even more. So yeah, I think it's so cool to be able to bring it to life, and I think people are surprised when they see it, you know, yeah. like coming to, you know, watching their VHS of Aladdin or whatever, yeah. or Mary Poppins, and then coming to see it on the stage, and like how much more is brought to it, and there's more music, there's more scene work, it's different, so mm-hmm. you can't compare it.
Yeah, yeah. it's just different mediums, yeah. you know. It's like there's an animated film, and then there's like an evening of theater. Do yeah. you know what I mean? And I yeah. feel like I think all three of our shows do that.
Yeah.
really well,
and I think that's what in Disney shows, what's very challenging is to make these characters human.
Yeah.
You know, sure. that our cartoons are, because I knew when I was auditioning for Poppins, I'm like, I knew I couldn't be Julie Andrews being Mary Poppins. Like, I had to go be my Mary Poppins.
Yeah. Right.
And I think that's what we all kind of, mm-hmm. it's that hurdle to get over of how do you humanize this person, this yeah. character,
right.
but, and with yourself versus trying to be what we all know being her. You right. know what I mean? Because yeah. you're not, yeah. that's not a successful route.
Yeah, you'll never be that.
I'll right. never be Julie yeah. Andrews yeah. being Mary Poppins.
You'll never
she
be that.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
yeah.
And stage drawing has become such a thing. and these are shows that elicit a lot of fanaticism, I think. What have been kind of the most extreme or memorable fan moments
you've
had?
I've started to respond to Aladdin now. Like when people yes. go, oh, Aladdin, I actually start to turn around.
You're like, yes.
You know what I mean? You're like, I actually like now.
You're at H&M.
It's not like telly anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, I feel like they've, you know,
that's
so it's
funny.
So bizarre. Like it's, you
well,
know, it's
you
only
hear,
been 3
you
months.
You have to respond to that every
yeah.
night. So
yeah.
Of course.
And at the
like
stage, yeah, at the stage door, like, yeah, it's totally, it's like Aladdin. You're like, yep.
Yes.
Yes.
Here I am. That is me.
That's so funny. The stage door. I mean, I had never stage door growing up. I didn't even know that was an option. So I'm like mad that I didn't know that.
Would you have been there?
Yes. Oh my God. Yes. Yes, I would have. But it was so, I mean, the fansies are the reason that Newsies came to Broadway.
The fansies.
Yeah.
That's
fansies?
What they're called. I like that. It's like the Fanalos.
The what?
The Fanalos. Barry Manilow's fans are the Fanalos.
Really?
Yeah.
I love that. That's so funny. Anyway, so they're the reason that we came to Broadway, and they showed up at the stage door.
I mean,
it was intense, and I'd never seen. It felt like we were like in sync or Justin Bieber.
I remember sitting in the theater and feeling like I was at a rock concert. The reaction
was
so over the top and extreme and
I mean,
and
when
spirited.
I went and watched, I did the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
yeah.
It was so cool. And
I think that also comes from the fact that Newsies was such a, like a cult fan. It was really
yeah,
was like it was one of those things that like I remembered like
yeah, and it was like the underdog.
Yeah,
of, you know,
of all
like,
the films.
Yeah, so it was crazy. It was awesome. I'm sure you.
It was like for
the
well, Newsies. Like as a Disney fan, Newsies was like the one that like for the diehard Disney fans,
yes.
we were like,
oh, people
Newsies.
Wanted that for
yeah,
so long.
Yeah.
I remember
me
as a
too.
Kid being like, bring it to the stage.
Bale?
I've got some barrel turns in me.
Yeah.
Let's
I
do
would
it.
Like to see that.
Huh?
Yeah.
Right now.
5, 6, ready.
Absolutely not.
Ooh, yeah.
Sadly, we are running out of time, but I want to make sure that our listeners know where they can find you and where they can check you out doing what you do so well. Cara Lindsay going into Beautiful on Broadway coming up next week. That's amazing. Congratulations, Cara.
Yay.
Yeah, and of course, you can see Telly as Aladdin in Aladdin. Ashley, where can the people find and stalk you?
I'm with the Chicago Symphony, the Modesto
yes.
Symphony, Seattle Symphony, New York Pops, all before January
Fancy
1st.
Pants.
Holy
amazing.
So I'm all around.
Night.
So
yeah.
Google me.
Yeah.
Google me. Thank you guys so much again. And thank you all for listening. Make sure you follow us on social media at The Broadway Cast. This is your Broadway buddy, Ben Cameron, saying
yes.
have a great show.
Bye.
Yeah, thank
Yay.
You so much for having us.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yay.
Thank you.
Can't get enough of The Broadway Cast? Well, make sure you're following us on social media on all platforms at The Broadway Cast, and also find us on YouTube at youtube.com/TheBroadwayCast. Join us next week as we welcome the Gentlemen of Waitress. That's Drew Gehling, Will Swenson, and Chris Fitzgerald. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be delicious. How's that for a man pie?